Mike Morgan is with us. Mike, I'm just guessing. I know you're in Atlanta. You're doing your best to stay healthy. Have you turned into one of those guys that got a Robin Hood account and you're just day trading your butt off all day long? Is that you?
No, I can't say that's me, Bill. I'm guilty of a lot of sketchy activity during COVID times, but that's not part of it.
I don't picture you as a day trader, just sitting there by your computer at 8:30.
No, you know, I have a cousin that does that, and I tell you, I watch the way his mood is dictated by what happens during the course of that day. And I can always tell if he's had a winning day or a losing day. And if he's had a losing day, I know to keep my distance. You talk about social distancing. If he's had a bad day on the market, you really social distance because he is not a happy camper. So I don't know if I could take the highs and lows. It's the same reason why I don't gamble on sports or anything else for that matter, because it's just too much of an emotional roller coaster for me. I've got enough problems with stability on my own.
You are in the TV business. People know you. You do football, basketball, baseball, ESPN, SEC Network. What are the suits saying right now?
Well, it's really odd because the suits really are having their own conversations. And then you have, much like you've got the daily Zoom calls with all the athletic directors of the Power Five conferences, and then you have the Zoom calls of the conference commissioners each and every day. And then I think the so-called suits at ESPN and at Fox and other networks, they're having their own calls, but they're not all necessarily on the same call. You know, I mean, we're all just kind of in the dark. It is, I've never known it to be such the unknown in terms of what's going on. And so, you know, I think when this first started, that keep in mind, I was in Nashville getting ready to call the second round of the SEC basketball tournament with no fans, a challenge I kind of looked forward to. I'm sitting there with Marty Smith and Carl Ravitch and Jimmy Dykes, and we're talking about how we're going to handle the coverage of this. And the plug is pulled about 45 minutes before tip-off between Tennessee and Alabama. At that point, everybody is just kind of in shock and awe about the fact that we're not going to have March Madness. Then I get back to the hotel room, and then we find out Mark Emmert, without really discussing it with the conference commissioners, pulls the plug on the College World Series. As you know, I do a lot of college baseball. He canceled the entire college baseball season. And so from that point, and then at that point, we'd have a couple of conference calls with some of the bosses about where we are and what's going forward. But I think at some point, Bill, everybody just decided, what's the point of doing weekly conference calls with our announcers and on-air talent when we really don't know what's going to happen? If the people in charge of college football don't know what's going to happen, then why should we assume that us folks in TV land know what's going to happen? So we're all just watching the goalposts be moved continuously and trying to figure out what the fall is going to look like. And I'll be honest, I mean, it has kind of snuck up on me, because when we had those conversations in April, May, and June, it was like, okay, we still got plenty of time. Now we're in mid-July, and we don't have plenty of time. So I think there's a lot of angst in the air. We all know how important college football is to all of us, the programs, the schools, and, yes, people in TV and radio and print. It's a lifeblood of so many of our careers and what we do. So we're all waiting on pins and needles, but we're not closer to an answer, I'm afraid.
Okay, more of the same. Have you had any discussions about whether you'd be in a stadium or maybe you'd be doing it from a central broadcast location like in Charlotte? How would that work?
Those conversations have taken place. I will say this. As a network, we've done a tremendous job of all kinds of contingency plans. So we are prepared for if it's semi-normal and we can do what we normally do, which, of course, is show up a couple days before, talk to coaches and players on Friday, broadcast the game in our little booth on Saturday as normal. Okay, well, what if we can't do that? Well, then maybe we do have to do what's called a REMI, which is remote integration, which is We broadcast it from a television screen, either in Charlotte or in Orlando or in Bristol, Connecticut. Most of us have done that at least once or twice, because that's something that kind of came onto the scene about 5-6 years ago, and they thought maybe it'd be a good way to save money here and there logistically, particularly if it's an overseas game. You see ESPN doing this Korean baseball now. Well, obviously, they don't have the broadcast crew set up in Korea. There's no secret there. But I will say it's not ideal. Fans recognize the announcers aren't there, and it has a different feel to it. It's not the same when you're not actually there on site. But that is, in today's COVID era, that is a possibility. I mean, there's three or four possibilities that are all out there, and we just don't know the answer now. And I go back to, if the people that run the sport, and I can't stress this enough, it drives me batty, Bill, when people assume Mark Emmert runs college football. Mark Emmert is like the substitute teacher, a better example. Mark Emmert is like the dean you had in high school that thinks he has a lot of authority, and he's trying to hand out demerits while kids are throwing paper airplanes at his head. Right. Mark Emmert is no authority figure in this. It's the Power Five commissioners that control the sport, and they don't care what the Ivy League does or doesn't do. That news was great for the Ivy League. I know a lot of people wrote articles about it and followed suit. That means nothing to the Greg Sankeys of the world, the Swoffords of the world, the Scotts of the world, the Bowlesbys of the world. They are running their own operation, and all of them know how crucial it is to have a season. So we're all just waiting to see what they decide is possible at this point.
Do you even have your maybe schedule yet, or is that even done?
No, gosh, no. No, football, unlike basketball and baseball, is unique anyway, as you know, because we don't know, we can't forecast, even in a regular year. I can't tell you October the 1st what game is going to be on what network. Right. So therefore, we don't know as announcers what game we're going to be assigned to. So we find out maybe 2 weeks in advance. Okay, this is the game you're going to be at. This is the game that you're broadcasting. But at this point, some of those games on the schedule, we don't even know if they're going to take place. And we don't know if we're going to start on time, and we don't know if we're going to back it up. I still think the spring model is the absolute last resort. And I could give you 100 reasons why, but your audience could probably figure out most of them on their own. That is not what they are looking at as a great option. That is a last resort in case of emergency break glass option. But regardless of that, we still have to figure out, can all the games be played? I mean, I hear a lot of people say, why don't we just do the conference games only model? Well, first of all, every game on that schedule, no matter how relevant you think it is, they all make money, okay? They make money for the schools. They make money for the TV networks. And quite frankly, you only get 12 of these things a year. Fans don't like to be deprived of any of them. So if you can play 8 conference games, why can't you play 12 overall? If you can play 9 games overall, do you really think it's safer to play 9 versus 12? I mean, I think we're splitting hairs at that point. I think they want to play a full season, and I think they want to see how feasible that is. It would be incredibly ignorant to think that when they started testing all these kids that there weren't going to be positive tests. But what amazes me is that people don't bring up the fact, or some of the people that seem determined to convince you we shouldn't have a season, a lot of national writers that share the same brain, they neglected to mention these kids were already positive before they came on campus. In other words, if you canceled college football, to assume that a bunch of 19, 20, and 21-year-olds are going to stay locked up in an apartment social distancing and not do things that ordinary college kids do, like go to bars, like have parties, like socially gather, You're kidding yourself. You're absolutely kidding yourself. So if we cancel college football today, I don't know if we're any safer. I don't know if we're going to avoid any more positive tests. If you have them in a controlled environment, you can dictate how they conduct their social activities, and you've got the best medical care available at their disposal, things that, quite frankly, people like you and me don't have. So I don't know if that's really a great solution to just say, oh, the heck with it, let's cancel football and let's have these kids do what they normally do. Well, what they normally do is going to put them in risk of contracting the virus. So I don't see how that's necessarily a solution.
Mike Morgan with us down in Atlanta. We're talking about the reopen here. There was an article yesterday, Tom Deanhart. I've known Tom a long time. He used to work for the Big Ten Network. He's with the Purdue site now. He said his sources are telling him the conference-only model is what the Big Ten is leaning towards. He didn't say that was the end game yet, but it seems to have momentum. Mm-hmm. Here's my question. We just talked about how the Ivy League, when they make an announcement, it has no relevance on the P5, et cetera, as far as their decisions. But if the Big Ten decided to go in that direction, could you see a situation where the SEC says, well, that's fine, but we're playing 12?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't think what the Big Ten does is going to influence what Greg Sankey does. I go back to, again, March the 12th, a day that'll live in infamy, when basically the sports world was shut down. If you recall, first, the Big East shut down their conference tournament in the middle of a game, no less. Then the Power Five conferences started doing it. Big 12, Big 10, Pac-12. I think the last one before the SEC was the ACC. And even then, hours later, Greg Sankey finally said, okay, it's time to pull the plug. In other words, just because one Power Five commissioner and one Power Five league takes a certain course on this doesn't mean they're all going to fall lockstep. And so if the Big Ten decides to do that, great for the Big Ten. That doesn't mean – and when we say conference or only – are we saying that we're not going to have Florida, Florida State, Georgia, Georgia Tech, South Carolina, Clemson, Louisville, Kentucky? I really think that that'd be a long shot to cancel those games.
Yeah, I was thinking. Here's another one. We talked about this earlier. If everybody went to the conference-only model, what is Notre Dame down to about six games?
Yeah. At that point, I mean, Notre Dame is basically playing like a preseason schedule. I don't know. You know what? We all naturally, I think, Bill, it's in our nature to want to compromise, right? We don't like confrontation. We want to. So this sounds like the ultimate compromise. Well, we know it's kind of dangerous to play 12, so let's just do conference only. Oh yeah, that sounds like good. And now we're compromising. But what are we really doing there? Like I said, is it if we lop off three games on the schedule, is that a solution? Are we really making anything better by doing that? I mean, the only concern that I legitimately see, there are some schools that might not have the proper financing to administer as many tests as you need to make sure that you've got a team full of players that are COVID-19 negative. So, I mean, if you're playing an FCS school, and they're already hemorrhaging money, and maybe they don't have the means to have adequate testing, well, then that needs to be known, and that game is going to be in peril. It's going to be in jeopardy. But, you know, for example, the Big Ten, I mean, much of their out-of-conference games are against, what, MAC schools, right? Can Bowling Green not afford to get COVID tests? We know this much. MAC schools cannot afford to lose out on a college football season. I mean, literally, everybody talked about the news, Stanford dropping a dozen sports yesterday. That's nothing compared to what Group 5 schools are going to have to do if we don't have a college football season. So they depend heavily on games like that. So based on that, I would assume they're going to do everything they have to do in the way of testing to make sure they can call up an Ohio State and say, look, we need to keep this game on. We assure you Our athletes have been tested properly multiple times. We are doing the same protocol you are because we know it's that important. That would be the first thing I let everybody know if I am the athletic director of a Group 5 school, because I know my survival could very well depend on having college football in 2020.
Mike, I don't know when the last time I had you on was, but it was a long time ago. We won't do that again. We'll have you on soon.
Too long, Bill. Too long. I was hurt inside. I didn't feel whole. Now I feel whole again.
Now they're canceling seasons because of this. It was terrible.
Let's hope they don't cancel us.
I hear you. I hear you. Mike, talk soon, sir.
Thank you, Bill.